Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. This is one of my favorite tips from the Little Book of Talent by author Daniel Coyle. I love it because it not only gives direction to a student looking for a teacher or coach, but it also gives direction to instructors and coaches looking to figure out how to best instruct their students. So I actually got my education in chemistry. I got a bachelor in chemistry. And then I got my master's in science education, and then I got bitten by the dog agility bug and left that world, as crazy as it sounds, to instruct agility full time. And that was quite a while ago. And I firmly believe that teaching, just like anything else, is a skill that has to be developed. However you do that, whether like me, you take formally developed education courses, it's called pedagogy, to teach you how to manage a classroom of students and how to design curriculum and how to deal with all that stuff and how to present things in different formats for different learning styles, or whether you just learn as you go, because there's a fair amount of that as well. I think that it's a skill that has to be developed. So while I don't believe that there's any such thing as a naturally talented teacher, and that good teachers are those who have practiced good teaching skills, I also think that there are a lot of instructors out there in our sport and in all types of endeavors that haven't paid as much attention as they could have or should have to the practice of actually teaching. So in Daniel Coyle's Little Book of Talent, which again is a total favorite of mine, and the basis for all of these agility challenge tips that I've been presenting to you so far this year, he has five hallmarks or five ways to help you pick a teacher or a coach who will help you really improve and grow your skills. So here are those five things. One, avoid someone who reminds you of a courteous waiter. So this is the instructor who focuses their efforts on keeping you comfortable and happy and on making things go smoothly with a minimum of effort. This is the instructor that covers a lot of material in a short period of time, smiles a lot, and says things like, "Don't worry, no problem, we can take care of that later." So this is a good person to have as a waiter in a restaurant, but it's a terrible person to have as your teacher, coach, or mentor. Two, look for somebody who maybe scares you a little bit. In contrast to an experience with a courteous waiter, encounters with great teachers or coaches or mentors tend to be filled with unfamiliar emotion, feelings of respect, admiration, and often a shiver of fear. And this is a good sign. You want to look for somebody who watches you closely. They're interested in figuring you out. They want to know what you want, where you're coming from, where your dog is coming from, and what motivates both of you. This person is often also action-oriented. They're not going to want to spend a lot of time chatting, although sometimes they may have a lot that they need to explain to you. And instead, they're going to want to jump into a few activities right away so that they can get a feel for you and your dog and vice versa. And finally, on this second point, these types of coaches, instructors, and mentors are very honest, and you could say blunt. Sometimes they're unnervingly honest. They're going to tell you the truth about your performance in clear language. And this isn't meant to denigrate or judge or put you down, but it may sting. Because if you're used to experiences with the courteous waiter type of instructor who always tells you how amazing you are and how amazing your dog is, and yay, that was so great, what a great job, then when you hear somebody talk honestly about where you're at and where you need to go in clear language, it can really sting. But you'll come to find that it's not personal. This is the type of information that you can use to really dig in and get better. 3, you want to look for somebody who gives short, clear directions. Most great teachers, coaches, and mentors don't give long-winded speeches. They don't give sermons and they don't give lectures. They do give short, as short as they can, unmistakably clear directions, and they guide you to a target. And again, sometimes this can feel pretty direct and almost blunt, depending on where you're coming from and the quality of your previous interaction. So if all of your previous interactions were designed to make you feel good, and you've realized that feeling good isn't the same as being good, and feeling good isn't the same as improving, then this can feel very different to you. 4, look for somebody who loves teaching fundamentals. Great teachers will often spend entire sessions on one seemingly small fundamental. For example, the single step required to move laterally away from your dog on a course, or the footwork for a front cross, or something called a front cross to blind cross combination, or something like that. This might seem odd or tedious, especially if you're accustomed to going to classes where the goal is to just get through as many obstacles as possible in the time frame. But this shows you that this instructor, coach, mentor understands the importance of the fundamentals that are at the core of your skills. And the more advanced you are and the more advanced you want to be, the more critical those fundamentals will become. 5, all things being equal, pick the older person. This might seem kind of strange, but pick the older person. It might be tempting to go after the latest and greatest agility performer who's on the teaching circuit. But remember, not all great competitors are also great teachers. And as I mentioned earlier, teaching is a skill like any other. It takes time and perseverance to develop. Now, of course, there are good teachers at any age. Don't get me wrong. And of course, it's not true that every older instructor is a guaranteed genius, because if they're older and they've been around longer, but they've not been engaging in purposeful practice to become a better instructor, to really help their students grow, then it's not going to matter so much. But if you have the choice to go with somebody who's been in the sport longer and who's been teaching longer, they're probably older, and all other things being equal, go for that person over the newcomer. Let the newcomer cut their teeth and get some experience and come back a little bit later, and that newcomer is going to be a much better instructor. And just to be clear, this tip, which is tip number 12, marks the last tip of the first category of tips. And those tips are designed to help ignite and motivate. Remember, if you checked out my previous tips, I talked about ignition. The next chunk of tips are going to be all about the meat of actually improving skills. So now that you have the information about how to practice, and what some of the elements of good practice and developing talent are, the next section is going to be focused on finding the sweet spot for improvement and then reaching for more. So this first chunk of tips, these first 12 tips, were all about getting ready. The next several tips are going to be about action, simple strategies and techniques to direct you toward the deep and deliberate practice that's going to actually help you improve in your dog agility journey with your dog, and nudge you away from the unproductive swamp of shallow practice that a lot of us are wallowing in without even realizing it. So share your thoughts on this tip. Leave a comment below. Let me know what you think about this tip. And I'll see you guys next week for our next agility challenge tip.
Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer, so make sure you check it out.